You mentioned the issue of, quote, BEV eligibility. Where are we with that today? And specifically, maybe you can update us on the issues of brain mets, anticoagulation, and location.
So let's start with the easy one first, which is location. And I've always been someone who feels that you've got to be pretty strict with going along with what the treatment entry criteria were for AVAIL and for 4599. And location wasn't a criteria. And in subsequent reviews of who's gotten hemoptysis and who hasn't, a central tumor doesn't appear to really be a problem. I think we're learning that cavitation may be. So pre-therapy cavitation may turn out to be significant. But having something that's central or abutting the pulmonary artery or abutting the aorta in and of itself doesn't mean that that person can't get BEV. So I haven't used location as a criteria.
Before you get off of cavitation, what about cavitation that develops on therapy?
That's one of the big challenges, I think, in medical oncology today, which we did not talk about earlier, and I think is a real difficult problem. And what I've done is when someone has an enormous cavitary response, I generally stop their chemotherapy and BEV and watch and see how they do. Completely unevidence-based. I've just gotten nervous in that setting. But I think that's something we're going to need to spend some time looking into exactly how those patients do. Now, in a way, that's what you're hoping for. I mean, those cavitary responses are responses, and they're some of the best responses we see. But they are associated with an increased rate of hemoptysis, which is concerning.
What about the issue of brain mets and anticoagulation?
So I think if you look at all the BEV exclusion criteria, squamous cell being one, I think it's unlikely that we are going to be treating squamous cells with bevacizumab. Brain mets being a second, I think it's likely we will be treating brain mets. And we have some data at ASCO this year, principally presented by Wally Ackerley, where they looked at patients who were on the ATLAS trial, which is a trial of chemotherapy plus bevacizumab in lung cancer, as well as patients who are part of the Genentech-sponsored trial specifically to look at brain met patients. And in patients who've had their brain mets irradiated, who then have a period of recovery from the radiation, that group of patients seems to tolerate bevacizumab therapy with no rate of CNS bleed that's necessarily higher than the rate of CNS bleed in the general population. The data is preliminary, and we're still waiting, obviously, for the maturity of these studies. But thus far, I suspect the brain met patients will be able to benefit. And my group and I have treated a few selected patients with brain metastasis after having radiation therapy given to them. We're also learning a similar thing with anticoagulation. It appears that you can get away with anticoagulation as part of the approach to patients with lung cancer who are getting bevacizumab as well.
So does that mean, because I guess one of the questions has been, we know from AVAIL that people who require anticoagulation once you start treatment seem to do well, but do we have any data on people who start out on anticoagulation?
So that data is a little bit harder to come by, and I personally have been a little hesitant to use it in that setting. And the reason I say that is not just the anticoagulation, it's why were they anticoagulated? So most of my patients are anticoagulated because they have an acute thrombotic event. And I think that patient population is one that I've been hesitant to use bevacizumab in, i.e. the patient with a PE discovered a diagnosis, the patient who has some acute reason to be put on heparin. Now, if you're talking about a patient who's on Coumadin for AF, that's been on Coumadin for ages, my suspicion is that patient's probably fine. It's more the patient who's been acutely anticoagulated for clotting and for a DVT or a PE or a myocardial infarction or some other kind of issue.
What about other history in terms of arterial events, recent, you know, MIs, being treated for hypertension, age? And so how do these things affect you?
I think hypertension is not a problem. We've learned that we can manage this, and we can manage it well with antihypertensives. So I don't use hypertension as a criteria not to treat. Age is interesting. When one looks at the Rangelingham subset evaluation, which was published in the JCO, he found that patients over the age of 70 seem to have more toxicity from bevacizumab-based therapy and less efficacy. I certainly agree with the more toxicity. I'm not entirely sold on the lack of efficacy. When you shrink the group to a smaller subgroup, it's harder to show a benefit. One has to be a little bit careful about reading too much into subset analysis. So I still offer bevacizumab to BEV-eligible older patients. However, I do it with caution, and I do it with understanding that the side effect ratio might be slightly higher.